I thank you all for sticking around. I'm very happy to be able to present the findings from our local community. We have a community that, like so many others at the county level, has historically been marked by really high infant mortality, particularly among our black moms, and we have a very large racial disparity. We keep focusing our health efforts and talking about the county level, when what we really need to be doing is looking also at the neighborhood level and the smaller units and what's going on in people's smaller communities. So this study was an effort to look at that within this larger, you know, taking into account that we have this larger problem and just trying to understand the degree to which it varies from neighborhood to neighborhood. I have no financial relationships to disclose. Just by way of background, you know, the exact causal pathways between race and health remain unclear. What we do know is that it's a product of the interaction between genes, behavior, environment, social relationships, and stress. What we also know is that when it comes to racial disparities in health, there's actually a fair amount of diversity from community to community across the nation. It varies quite a wide degree. This variation, in turn, has been linked to a variety of factors, including the economic structure of the community itself, the distribution of economic opportunities, healthcare, health resources, as well as the built environment. In my community, this study took place in Kalamazoo County, Michigan. At the national level, infant mortality is much higher in our nation compared to other developed countries, and that's largely due to very high rates of infant mortality among black women. In my state, In the state of Michigan, we can see that we've got quite a disparity here between black and white infant mortality, both within the fetal mortality, neonatal period, which is the first 28 days, and the post-neonatal period, which is 28 days to a year out. We have the ratio between black and white poor birth outcomes and infant mortality is about 3-1. In Kalamazoo County has a mix of urban, suburban, and rural communities. It's halfway in between the I-94 corridor between Detroit and Chicago. We have a population of about 350,000, and we have two mid-sized cities with some bedroom communities and then a pretty large rural community surrounding us. But for many years, our community has had even higher infant mortality, and even higher infant mortality, particularly among black women. And you can see compared to the state, it's above the state. And this infant mortality it gives us a ratio, a black-white mortality ratio of 3.5 times. So black infants born in my community are 3.5 times more likely to die within the first year compared to white infants. This led us to our research question. We wanted to understand at the smaller neighborhood level, how much does this county problem vary from community to community? And if it varies, what are the sort of community level characteristics that are associated with that variation? This is an ecological study using secondary data analysis. We merged two data sets. Once we derived census tract variables from the ICPSR. We downloaded a lot of the RAND Center. They had some terrific variables that have some added neighborhood level characteristics that we wanted to include, and you'll see that in a moment. And what we did is we merged that with our birth records data. In my community in the study year 2008, we had 3,135 births. From that birth records data set, we excluded multiple gestation births, and we also excluded, because we wanted to focus on the black-white disparity, so we excluded all of the maternal race that was not black or white. This gave us a final individual data set of 2,873 individual records. And what we did is we used ArcGIS to both geocode those individual level files. We conducted a spatial join to connect the individual level information with the census tracts in my community. And then we exported that data set, aggregated the maternal characteristics to the census tract level, and our study unit of analysis then are the 60 census tracts within my county. We just conducted bivariate analysis, partly because we had such a small N. Our primary outcome variable was disparity, racial disparity, and we measured disparity within each census tract by subtracting the percent of white women with a poor birth outcome from the percent of black women with a poor birth outcome. And that poor birth outcome we defined based on the birth records data as including infant death, where the infant did not leave the hospital, low birth weight, under 2,500 grams, and or premature delivery, less than 37 weeks. This generated an interval level continuous measure, which was just the actual difference between the 2%. In addition to that, we generated a categorical measure where we categorized these disparities into three categories, where whites had worse outcomes, and that was and we defined worse outcomes by being 5% more, a 5% or greater difference, where there was the same outcomes, which was within plus minus 5% difference, and then whites had worse outcomes. So we generated this categorical variable. We looked at predictors, and we had census tract level predictors, and we also had individual level maternal predictors. The census tract were variables that were derived from and characterized the actual neighborhoods of the residents. We generated a racial segregation index using the racial isolation index is what we developed. We looked at demographics including high school graduation rates, age distribution of residents. We also looked at foreign-born population, percent of foreign-born population. We looked at neighborhood SES measures, including percent of the residents who lived below poverty level. We looked at median household income. We looked at percent of employment. We used the pollution index and the street connectivity index that was generated from the RAND data set. And then we also included the percent of rural residents living in the rural setting within that census tract. The aggregated maternal characteristics that we looked at by neighborhood included demographics, and so of the mothers who had given birth, the percent that were married, the percent that were adolescent, our individual level SES measures that we aggregated up were the whether the birth was paid by Medicaid. We looked at some of the health variables, diabetes, hypertension, chronic problems, as well as sexually transmitted infections, BMI category, percent of women within each BMI category, and prenatal weight gain. We identified health care, and we looked at adequacy of prenatal care using both first onset of care, as well as the Kessner Index of Care, which takes into account both onset of care, as well as the consistency of care throughout the pregnancy. And finally, we had information on smoking risks. The only two health risks we had information on were prenatal smoking and prenatal alcohol consumption, as reported in the birth records data. So the first thing I want to do is show you just the distribution of the continuous disparity measure across the 60 census tracts. And actually, there ends up being 56 census tracts because in four of them, there were no black births. So we eliminated the four. Obviously, there was no disparity there because there was only one race. So we had a couple of surprises. This the way I've organized this distribution is, and I've sort of put the categories by them, is you can see that at the very top, sort of that top range, that's where the birth outcomes were worse among the white women in that community. And we were surprised, A, by the fact that there were 19 communities in which this met this our criteria for worse birth outcomes. And B, we were also surprised, but we also had the size of the communities, the number of communities, 11 of them, which where there were zero similar birth outcomes between racial categories. We weren't surprised, of course, by the fact that there were more communities that had worse birth outcomes among black women, and that they tended to be the communities with more births among black women, right? So that didn't surprise us. What we were surprised by, however, was this high-end group, you've got 85%, 91%, 98%. So these census tracts, there were 1 in 2 and 3 women, black women, who had given birth, and every single one of them had a poor birth outcome. So there were very few. So those high numbers are outrageous. They were also so high because there were very few of them, and they were all bad. What we decided to do is, because we felt like maybe there was something different about that, they were so much higher, so we ended up splitting and adding a category to our categorical measure where we added this black outcomes much worse, and we took those last five. What we ended up doing is mapping the categories for our census tracts in my community. And as you probably know, census tracts are administrative units that are derived from the size of the population. So you've got bigger tracts in bigger areas here. Those are generally have lower populations. They're often rural or suburban. So you can see in this our urban core here, you've got your tighter, smaller little units. What we did is, we mapped the four categories. So white outcomes are worse, and you can see just by looking at it that that's often in those larger, more rural communities where white outcomes are worse than black outcomes. The black outcomes are worse, and the black outcomes are much worse, are much more centered in sort of the urban core. The black outcomes that are much worse are a little bit different from the more moderate disparity in that they're more likely to be in the suburban communities, sort of not urban, not rural, but suburban. And then the communities where there was similar outcomes, they're sort of scattered throughout our county, but you can see there's a little tight little cluster there, and that's right where our university community is. We have a college, we have a large university, Western Michigan University, and that's right where that is. So there's a lot of student housing and a lot of residential housing around there that serves that community. The first thing we did was we looked at all of those characteristics, the census tract level variables and the maternal variables, and we were looking for an association with the continuous outcome measure, the actual percent difference. And what we were surprised to find is that there was no statistically significant relationship between the percent of disparity, and again, remember, that went from negative 27 to positive 98.3. There was no linear relationship between that measure and any of the other measures, poverty. You know, they were all also continuous measures. So there was no consistent, systematic, linear relationship. However, when we turned and went to examine the relationship of the categorical variables with all of our characteristics, we found several significances, and I'm going to give these in greater detail. But at the census tract level, we found significant differences among these disparity categories in demographics, socioeconomic status at the neighborhood level, demographics with regards to the age, health care, and health behaviors at the maternal level. We looked at, when we categorized, and what I did is I identified where there were significant differences on these features across a variable. I took the lowest and the highest, right, and displayed that. So what I want to show you now is for those communities in which whites had worse birth outcomes, they were marked by having the lowest high school graduation rate and the lowest number of foreign-born residents. Those were the features that were statistically significantly different from the other categories. What's interesting is that the category that had the highest measure that was the most different was the communities where there were the same, blacks and whites had the same birth outcomes. Those communities had the highest high school graduation rate and the highest number of foreign-born residents, which makes sense if you think about that they were really, a lot of them were centered around the university, right? So then that sort of makes sense. You've got sort of a university community. not surprising, were the communities where the blacks did worse, moderately worse, not tremendously worse. The communities where the blacks did worse, they were marked by having the lowest household median income, and the neighborhoods themselves had the highest percent of vacant housing. So these are impoverished urban settings. The maternal features that marked these, where they were the lowest, were high teen pregnancy rates, high smoking rates, and inadequate prenatal care, both in onset of care as well as the consistency of care across their pregnancy. What was a surprise to us is that the category that was on the high end of all these dimensions wasn't the whites' worst category. It was the blacks' a lot worse category. So the blacks' a lot worse are really, really different from the blacks' a little bit or moderately worse, which suggests some different determinants. Different things are going on that are leading to these very poor birth outcomes. Women living in communities where blacks did a lot worse. Those communities as a whole had the highest median household income, the lowest percent of vacant housing. The women giving birth in that community had the lowest teen pregnancy rates, lowest prenatal smoking. They had adequate prenatal care. Really different, right? And so that was very remarkable to us, and we thought was really important because we keep treating this as if it's one problem in one community in a single dimension, and it's not. Okay, it's very complex, and we have to respect that complexity and develop programs that address the potentially different dynamics that are leading to these poor outcomes. This study had limitations. The primary one being it's an ecological study. We want to derive some causal conclusions from this, and we simply can't. But it is really suggestive, and it really tells us that we have to drill down lower than the county level, which is where a lot of the public health resources get decided upon and disseminated. And we have to really work with our individual communities, and communities vary quite a bit on what they have to offer and what their risk factors might be. Our unit of analysis is a census tract, and I've use that as a proxy for neighborhood, and I think especially in my community, that's not necessarily the case, right? So what I know, because I know my community, is that the census tracts are cutting right in the middle of real neighborhoods, right? So it doesn't necessarily represent an intact neighborhood. It's a proxy, and we need to do a better job of getting better proxies for that, especially in communities that aren't these large municipal units where I think the census tract is much more tied to neighborhoods. The appeal of census tracts is that we have all this information that's publicly available about them. Okay, so they're really a nice first cut, but if we want to go deeper and understand a little bit more and really talk about neighborhoods in their true existence, we've really got to go to the neighborhood, and we really have to develop geospatial ways to identify those clusters. And finally, it's a secondary data analysis. You work with the information that you have available. And in this case, a lot of the features that are neighborhood features and environmental features that we know are really important when it comes to equity and when it comes to healthcare access, we were not able to capture and are not represented in this analysis. Again, this is a first cut, but it's very suggestive, and these are the things that we hope to look at next. In conclusion, census tracts where black outcomes are worse are higher in number. There's more of these census tracts, and they tend to be worse by a greater degree, right? The surprise, though, is that the two blacks' worse categories represent widely differing characteristics that differ on the variables of prenatal care, teen pregnancy, and healthcare access, as well as community socioeconomic indicators. The racist similar category is marked by having the highest foreign-born population, which makes sense when we think about it being a university setting, and the whites' worst category is marked by having the lowest high school graduation rates, and they tend to be in the rural communities, as we saw visually. And I'm wrapping up there because I'm out of time, but I'm happy to field any questions or comments, I think, at the end of the presentation. Thank you all very much.
thank you for that a good talk, and I think it really highlights that there's no one size fits all, even within a community. Mm-hmm. So we have our last speaker, who comes from afar to join us today, Baishan Hauer, who is from the Department of Health and Health Promotion Administration and the Ministry of Health and Welfare from Taiwan. Thank you.